Brother Ed will begin with chapter 11 of Hebrews. Chris?
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time we are together. This new and beautiful day, the fresh rain you have given us, all the fellowship who come together to rejoice in you through your Son, Christ Jesus. Please be with Brother Ed and be with all of us as Ed teaches us through the lessons in Hebrews chapter 11. Help us to take these lessons and use them every day to always stay rooted to Jesus Christ, your Son, our rock. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we are going to resume our study of the book of Hebrews, and we're at chapter 11. But I would like to go back a few verses, since it has been a while since we have been involved in this study. Paul's going to talk about what faith is. And I think Hebrews chapter 11 is a very important chapter. I think it's also a chapter that has more to it than what we sometimes people
give it credit for.
Thank you. So I'd like to start in the 32nd verse of Hebrews 10 and read that. It's important, I think, when I think of chapter divisions and verse divisions and stuff, that the Greeks didn't have paragraphs. They didn't have punctuation. So although I think the divisions is good, sometimes I think I would have done it a little bit different. But it is important that we can, it sure makes it easy to go to a certain place in the Bible. So chapter 10, verse 32, Paul says, "But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes," and this is from the ESV, "sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction." And who is a good example of that happening in their life?
Jesus.
Paul. Jesus. So, you know, Jesus said, if they do this to your teacher, to your master, what do you think they will do unto you? And certainly this was true. And I think Paul was writing this primarily to Jews, probably those primarily in Jerusalem and Judea. And what happened from almost the very beginning of the church? Persecutions arose. And some of them were very severe. And they were dealt out by Jews who were in power, even the high priest. So that's what they were exposed to, reproach and affliction. And continuing in verse 3, "and sometimes being partners with those so treated." And what does that mean? Well, you know, during the World War II, there was not a family who did not know someone who was overseas or involved in supporting or carrying out that conflict. So I think this is what he's saying too. You know Christian brethren personally who were treated this way, even if maybe somehow you escaped. For you were partners with those. You commiserated with them. You helped them. You took them food. You visited them and so forth. Verse 34. "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." You know, sometimes they lost everything for the cause of Christ. And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your party since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Now that is faith. To put your life and everything you knew and everything you had on the line to maintain your confidence, your hope, and your obedience to the gospel and the apostles' doctrine, because you knew really what you have here on earth is nothing, and there's something far better than you could ever hope for or imagine in the future. And your only evidence or proof of that is that God said it. That is faith. Verse 35. Therefore, since you had this past experience, therefore do not throw away your confidence. That's faith. Confidence in what God said, which has a great reward. And these things we're going to emphasize in the next chapter, or Paul does. For you have need of endurance. That is faith. Enduring everything in life, looking towards the future. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, that's faith, doing the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. That's Jesus. That's faith. Knowing that's going to happen. And knowing that I need to be ready when he comes again. That's faith. Verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. That goes way back. Habakkuk said that exact phrase, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is God speaking. If he shrinks back from his confidence, from his trust, from obedience in the Lord, if he shrinks back, that's all contained in faith, God will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. We believe that, and we act as if we know that is true. Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus said that, and we believe it, and we fulfill the requirements of the gospel through faith. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Believeth what? Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:5-11. You know, if we read that, and let's just refresh our minds with that, it's a very, very compelling statement. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's very clear. What could be plainer than that? So we believe it. And because we believe it, if we have faith, we prepare ourselves for that day. That's what faith does. And we must believe the apostles' doctrine. In the second chapter of Acts, the beginning 41st verse, it has a list of things that the early church did and practiced as part of their worship. And one of those was they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And we believe it. Well, why do we believe it? Because Jesus, in the 14th chapter of John and in the 16th chapter of John, said, after I leave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you, apostles, everything that's in my mind. Everything I want believers to do and to accomplish. And everything I want them to know. And everything I want them to obey. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do that for them. It said that when the Holy Spirit teaches you these things or tells you these things, it's as if I was telling you these things. So the word of those apostles, 12 and then later Paul, is if you were hearing it from Jesus. No difference. No difference at all. So we believe they must be fulfilled. So we read these things, and if we believe those things, what is the result? What comes from hearing the Word of God? Faith. Faith. And so we hear it, we believe it, and because we have that faith, we obey it, and we do it. We do things that Jesus and the apostles have ordered the church to do. So in a nutshell, whoever believes it to be true then acts as if it were true. And when we see these people in chapter 11, they not just believed. From that day forward, they continued like they knew it was true. This is the whole of faith in a nutshell. Man is a sinner, therefore he should act on this belief of this truth and repent. That's what faith is. What's the difference between a believer and Satan? They both believe there is a God. But has Satan acted on that knowledge? No. But the believer does. So it's not just believing. Faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and then acting on that belief. As if it were true. And we'll see that in the next chapter. Continuing, part of our faith, there is a God. Therefore, man should believe it and fear him and love him and obey him and seek his favor. That's what faith does. The Lord Jesus died to save mankind. That's a fact. We believe it. And to have faith in Jesus is to believe that this is not only true, but to act accordingly. That is to trust Him, to rely on Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. It is a fact that we on our own have no merit or hope. Therefore we should cast all our hopes on Him and receive grace through our faith. There is a heaven and a hell. And to believe this is to believe the account of Jesus and the apostles. You know, no one talked about hell and heaven more than Jesus. And so we believe it, and therefore we seek heaven at all costs and to avoid hell at all costs. We are to die. And to believe this is to act as if it were so. And to be in a state of readiness for it. And to expect death at any time. Death occurs at any age. In any place. At any time. Pardon?
For any reason.
Yeah, for a multitude of reasons. This is earth. In short, faith is believing and acting as if it were true. A God, a Savior, a heaven, a hell. And it is to knowledgeably act as we were sinners and we must die. And as if we deserved eternal death and were in danger of it. That's the fear. We're going to read about Noah, and one of the things he was moved with was fear. We should fear the calamity which is in store for unrepentant, unbelieving, and disobeying people. In view of all this, we cast our eternal life on the grace and mercy of God, which comes through Jesus Christ, and obeying the New Testament scriptures in spirit and truthfully with a good conscience. You know, if you're studying to show yourself approved, you know, if you're overcoming sin and the sin that besets you in the youth, is it still hanging on? Or have you overcome it and moving on? This is, to do this is to be a Christian, and not to do it is to be an infidel. To do this is to be a Christian and receive heaven and escape hell. And that's where Paul kind of is bringing this into clarity in the next chapter. Are there any comments before we go on? Okay. Verse 1, chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that is so very true. So very true. And so very important. John, 1 John chapter 5. And verse 11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. We have eternal life right now. Are we going to die? Is our body going to grow old and probably see corruption? This is the way of life until Jesus comes. But we have eternal life. We have the substance. We haven't begun our life in heaven. We don't even know what really that's going to be like. We know some things. And we speculate on others. But we have that. We have the substance of that. We have the promise of that. And for the believing Christian, that's enough to produce faith. It is the evidence of things not seen. And how important is that? It's really important. Let's go to Romans 1. And beginning in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. He's talking about the ancient world. So everything that they know of God should be in them, should be known to them. For God hath showed it unto them. How did he do this? Well, one way. For the invisible things in him from the creation of the world are clearly understood. Being understood by the things... I read that wrong. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. So we know behind the things that we can see, there's something before that. What is that? Even his eternal power and Godhead. When we look at creation, the wonder of it, when we look at the human body, when we look at everything in the universe, we should know, God says, that should tell you there's something behind that. There's something that was eternal before the things that were made. And there was something that was all powerful, all wise behind it. And he says, on that basis alone, they are without excuse for not knowing God. And not acknowledging their God. Who says in his heart there is no God? The fool. It's foolishness to believe that there is not an eternal and all-powerful deity behind the creation of the universe. It doesn't matter how many letters you have after your name. It's foolishness not to believe there is a divine creator. And so when they stand before God, he's going to say, what foolishness you believed in and based your life on. And so I have no excuse for you. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So it's the substance of everything we hope for. It's the evidence of things we have not seen. And it is the way we get a good report of God. And we're going to see in the following verses what that means. You know, through my work life, there were times when there would be an assembly or a gathering and certain people would be commended for the good work that they had done. And so people in the audience would say, oh, those are some of the things I need to do if I want to have a good report or a commendation. So it is by faith that the ancients received a good report of God. So he's going to tell us about those things, some of them. And if we want to have that same kind of commendation by God, a good report, that's what we need to be like. That's what we need to do. Any comments on those? A lot could be said on those verses. Paul.
One of the things that people have is not being able to see the invisible. They're so visibly oriented. And we're told that no man will see God and live. But these, during the patriarch ages, even though God wasn't visible, they seen God. We see God in His Word. And it's so difficult to overcome the natural inclination to want to see, feel, touch. You know, Thomas wanted to touch Jesus to be sure. And but we have such a natural tendency to want to see things. But when we read the Scripture, we should see God. We should see Jesus. Those men like Abraham, he believed, but he believed it would come to pass, actually not in his lifetime, because God had told him, you know, his seed would be numerous and so on. And he believed God. And so God accounted it to him, you know, as righteousness. But a lot of times we want a program or something to keep us on track when we've got one. We have the Bible. We just need to see God in the Bible and have a relationship with Him and Jesus. Not that the word and thing is over, not important, but the important thing is to have a relationship with God and Christ. And to do that, it's got to be by faith, because it's an invisible thing, something we can't see, but something faith, the Bible and faith tells us is there. It's a sure thing. And then these men here are, that we're going to talk about in chapter 11, they all saw God. Based on the evidence of the relationship that they had with Him. So we're talking about a relationship with God. We can, from our study and everything, we should come to have a relationship to Him. We should know Him. We should know what He wants for us, what He, how He wants us to live. And that's part of the obeying part. We have to have that. We want to develop a closeness, just like husband and wife. We want to develop a closeness. And to do that, as you've said, you have to act on those things. And that'll get us to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only a couple ways that we have the means to know, like things in the beginning, and how things happen and what things will be. Number one, we have through creation, the evidence of creation, and that tells us that there is an eternal power and a divine Godhead behind it. And the other is by revelation, by hearing, having the Word of God revealed to us. Now, the apostles and the early church had firsthand experience, and they recorded that. And we believe their testimony. That's very important. Those are the ones who heard Jesus, who touched Him, and lived with Him. And so we believe their testimony. And is that a hard thing to understand? How many of us have been in a courtroom and heard testimony and made a decision, but we never saw the crime committed? We never saw the murder take place. We never saw the car being stolen. But we line up the evidence. And we believe some witnesses and we don't believe others. And we reach a decision. That's everyday life. We see a fire, or we hear of a riot, that's a better one, we hear of a riot downtown, we avoid it. We don't go there. Number one, we believe the testimony of the reporter, and number two, we don't want to be involved in the chaos. And faith acts that way. Is it reasonable to believe the gospel? Is there a reason for the things you hope for? Of course there is. It's your faith in the testimony, your faith in God, your faith in Jesus Christ, and your willingness to obey it.
I think one of the most important things we can do is leave a testimony for those that we bring into the world or those around us. When we want our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, we want to have left a witness of faith. When they think of us, they need to think of our faith. And even, we can write things down for them to look at. They need to see when you're gone that you studied. And they need to see that you lived a faith. And, a lot of it is how we interact with them when we're around them. We want to present ourselves as a person of faith, that we want goodness. We want the exhibition, the attributes of Colossians 5, we just want one of the most important things we can, whether they, it comes to any value of them or not, they need to know that one person in their life was faithful to Christ.
Yeah. And what would be the testimony if you didn't behave like you believed it? It's one thing. Exactly. You can say, I believe, but if you don't act as if that was really true, then that's not faith. It's like you're in a burning building and people say, your building's on fire, and you look around and you see your flames. Oh, I believe my building's on fire. I believe if I don't get out of this room, I'm going to be consumed in the fire. But if you don't believe that, how do you know that you believe that? Well, you get yourself up and out of that building, and that's a aspect of faith. Satan believes everything God said; he knows it's true, but he didn't act like he believed it. He acted in a way opposed to it.
Acted like he thought he could do better than God.
That's one thing. Yeah. Okay, verse 3. Through faith, we understand. We understand things by faith. One of the things, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. They were made invisibly by the Word of God. God spoke. And whatever His will was for that thing or that day or that aspect, it was so. It was so, and it was good. So we understand that something bigger than the universe and eternal, and something that had no beginning and something that had extraordinary power created it. And then we hear from that person how it was, and then we understand. And we've kind of said that. The testimony of all creation and the revelation and word and testimony of God. So ultimately, God said it, I believe it, and I acted and lived according to that. And that's faith.
Sure, that verse sure kind of blows a hole in the theory of evolution, doesn't it? That the things which are seen were not made of things that we can see now.
Right.
They were made by a higher power. And by God. And so the people that want to teach evolution think, well, all of this just happened because of all the things that were already here. Nothing was, you know, it just all happened and it all came to pass that way. The things that we see just continue to go on, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we say, well, it was evolution, well, then we got to think that those things were eternal and those things were divine. For God said himself, it's reasonable when you look at these things to know that there is a higher power. Even though we may not see it and we may not know it, our first conclusion by a wise man and one who is reasonable is that something and someone was behind this that's greater than the things that obviously were made. Now we're going to get into some...
Just kind of follow up what I was talking about, witness. He's going to talk about a great cloud of witnesses here for long, and I think part of that is these men that he's talking about. But I think we all know a brother or sister in Christ that was one time in Christ, and they left. And somewhere down the road, later in their life, because of the witness of a group of people somewhere that bore on their mind and caused them to return to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It was witnesses that provided a good, wholesome, God-fearing evidence to them.
Right. Right. And, you know, some of the things that we've talked about in the book of Hebrews already and in other things like the book of Acts, you know, they tell us what we need to do. And so faith impels us to do them. And some of the things, you know, we read in Acts chapter 2, is they believed the testimony of the apostles. They participated in the Lord's Supper. They had a great fellowship with one another. And they just embraced the apostles' message completely. They embraced it. They couldn't get close enough. They couldn't hear enough of it. And so for a great period of time, they met every day. They couldn't wait to get off a work or their responsibilities to come together and learn more. And they read scriptures and they prayed and they sang songs and they loved to assemble.
They loved each other.
They did. And the admonition in Hebrews chapter 10 was, don't neglect the assembly of yourselves together. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect the first day of the week. Don't neglect the Lord's Supper. Don't neglect the giving of your means. Don't neglect those things. That's what faith is. And that's what it means to truly embrace it and make it part of your life. Hebrews 11:4, some specific examples of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So, if Abel had faith, how did he get it? The word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, how did Abel know how to offer an excellent sacrifice to God? God told him. So, Abel believed God. He believed that he needed to do what God said. One, out of fear for not doing what God said. And number two, because he knew the Lord God and he loved him and he wanted to please him. And number three, he wanted the commendation of God. He wanted the approval of God. He wanted the reward for doing what God said in the way he said to do it. Now, it doesn't say all that. But when we take all the scriptures and put them together, we know that's basically what happened. God said it, Abel believed it, and so he did it. And he obtained righteousness. He was declared righteous because of these things he did by faith. And God testified of him, and we're still talking about him today.
God doesn't leave it up to us so that we don't know what to do. He tells us what to do in his word.
Yeah. And if we go back to the fourth chapter of Genesis, I believe, then we know that's exactly what Cain did. Well, I'm a farmer. I know God said without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sin. But what's wrong with potatoes? Huh? That's not what God asked for. That's not what God wanted. That's not what God required. He could have. God can do anything. But God has the right to decide the terms of repairing the gulf between man and himself because of sin. And this is how he said, offer first of your flocks. Now, it doesn't say that in Genesis 4, but that's how we get faith. That's how we know how to do things. We got to do what God said if we want to be commended by him, if we want to be accepted by him, if we want to receive the rewards that he has to offer, and if we want to escape the penalties, which he says are there if we don't. So, we take verse 1, and that's a nice little recipe, but how often is that misapplied? Well, I believe in God. I believe I'm a good person. I believe there's a heaven. And I believe I'm going to it. But if you don't act as if you know those things are true, and if, like verses we read, if you don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to go to everlasting punishment. If you don't believe and repent and be baptized, you're not going to escape destruction and condemnation. You're not going to go to heaven. So that's some of the lessons, and we are out of time. And one quick point to what Paul said about leaving a testimony or a witness. We're still talking about Abel today and his faithfulness. That's a great legacy. Pick up again next week.